Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. All right.
Good.
I made it.
All right. Our assignment from yesterday. We're conditioned to be a human sacrifice. We're sacrificed to maintain karma. What of you is sacrificed when the karma is chosen? RL, what you see. Example. In choosing not to participate in activities that benefit the community, I don't have the experience of belonging in life. Record and listen. All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Kim calling from Vashon. I was just puzzling over the assignment about being sacrificed. I think what's always sacrificed for me is the present moment, because I'm always, I got a lot out of a conversation maybe last week about the duality between hope and despair, and how hope was something in the future, despair something in the past, and so when conditioning bounces us back between those two, then we sacrifice the present.
Yes, yes. And to complete that loop, the present is the only place in which we actually exist. In the past and in the future, those are ego's worlds, which is why it wants to pull us into any duality all the time. So literally, when people, such as myself, say things like, there's one choice that we have. Either we live or ego lives. Either ego has our life or we get to live. And that's what you're catching on to with that. When ego pulls us into the past or the future, it's got us. And you can tell by the conversation, right? It's spinning tails, right? When we come to the present, we experience ourselves as being alive here.
Yes, and then that's the place where I can make my difference, my small difference.
That's right.
So ego would want to take even the small difference that I can make, and sometimes ego gets a hold of that and says that it's not enough what you're doing. To go back to past exercise, and yet if I'm stuck in those conversations, then I don't even get to do what I can do in the present.
yes, and again, it's bigger than that. What you're catching on to is enormous, because the assumption that we have been deeply conditioned to believe is that you are small. Okay. Now, you are the same thing as the Buddha or Jesus or Mother Teresa or anybody else along those lines that you happen to like. Maybe Helen Keller or, you are exactly the same thing as every other human being. And the difference between most of us and them is that they, in whatever miraculous way, didn't buy as completely the idea that you are this small thing who could only make a little difference.
That's very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so letting go of that notion, you will be able to shine, because you are, as we like to point out regularly, a unique expression of the intelligence that is animating all. You're the only Kim who has ever existed or who ever will exist. And so your contribution, you're the only one who can make it. And we don't know how big that is. Once you stop listening to voices tell you that you have to be small.
Yeah, you know what dropped in is like Van Gogh, who never knew what his contribution was because
That's right.
it didn't happen until he died, you know, and
That's
so
right.
It's really helpful to remember that.
Yes, yes. Well, and if we go back through that list that I just named, we could say that was true for all those people.
Mm-hmm.
We know about them because of a contribution that they made that lived on after them, that other people responded to, that was probably not the experience they were having.
Yeah.
So that argues for an unselfconscious expression, which is what Zen is, happily.
That is so... And also the tree story, you know, of the old man planting the tree. And
exactly.
I think you mentioned, you know, you're not going to sit under this, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Who I am is planting trees. That's mm-hmm. that's the expression of this human form, right? It's not about me. It's about life expressing. All right.
Thank you.
Go have fun.
Gosho.
Huh? You are
Thank
so
you.
Welcome,
Thank
Kim.
You, Ashwini. Yes. Go happy.
All
Thanks,
right.
Kim. I really appreciated two things you said, Sherry. One, that it's almost mind-blowing to contemplate that what we're identified with is with the smallness of the ego, not mm-hmm. that we are the intelligence that animates and therefore have capacities that are enormous.
Oh,
it's what we were talking about with Jan yesterday, you know, that the reason that what's true about me is the focus on the ego. But what's true about me, if there is an identification with the intelligence that animates, it's a completely different set of attributes in terms of what is possible.
Yeah.
And there isn't a question of whether or not what arises through me is small, because the intelligence that animates doesn't define itself in that way.
That's right. That's right. And if we, you know, with what you're saying, again, it's a portal, right? Yeah. If we open to what might seem like a small thing, you know, I'm constantly talking about, you know, remember your umbrella, get the
mm-hmm.
keys. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that kind of, when we're in touch with that little tiny guidance that is constantly mm-hmm. coming to us, it's a portal. The mm-hmm. more we attend to it, the bigger that portal gets, until finally mm-hmm. it's obvious that what we are responding to is that intelligence and not any ego limitations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so that relationship with the intelligence that animates is the mechanism by which we realize or come to the realization of what it is that we are, and that's
that we realize that's what we are.
Yes. Yes, and that in what you were talking to Kim about, there's only one expression of that node of intelligence. And so it counts because it is part of all that is in that form, in that expression, in that instant. And so to realize that is just to have the humility of the identification with all that is, rather than being that egocentric little blob that is self-critical.
Yes. Gio Kennett said, I am not it, it is all of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I bet if we could interview Van Gogh, what he mm-hmm. would say is along the lines of, I'm not actually doing this. I just feel moved to put this paint mm-hmm. on a canvas. I just see these things and I just have to express them. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And Ashwini, before we move on, I want you to say for me, TATTVAM.
It's Tat Tvam Asi, that thou art.
Okay, say it again.
Tat Tvam Asi. That okay. Thou art.
That thou art. It's that middle word that taught I'm pretty good with. And so that's, again, that's what that saying is pointing at. That is what we are. Not this little finite bundle of misery. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hey, Bob.
Hey. So what I've been looking at is, well, I think it's what everyone's been talking about, is that what sacrificed is everything. It seems like.
Yes.
You know, that like.
Yes. Well, wait, Bob.
Yeah.
We just got to take that in. Okay. What sacrificed is everything. Literally. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I just keep seeing as I've been looking at this for myself that the conditioning is just working all the time to maintain or regain my attention. And when, you know, when I'm focused on what I can't do or what isn't possible or any conversation, I'm just not here. I think it was related to like a call in open air last night, you know, that like rather than examining what's wrong, you know, if I, you know, if all my supports are leading me back to just bringing my attention here, that's all I need to be concerned about.
Yes, yes, yes. And increasingly, we're aware when we're not here, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. So if all my focus is on getting here, then I don't need to be looking at what conditioned mind is doing. I just have a growing awareness that I'm not here. And then I'm here.
Yeah.
In that awareness, I'm here. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And it's really just it's the supports, I think, more and more that I look at, you know, like whether it's calling into this show or you know, I was making my schedule today for the day as I do most days. And I was just noticing how that really kind of clarifies not just when I'm making a schedule, but I think what you're pointing at is like throughout the day, when I'm not attending to what I chose to attend to earlier in the day, it just becomes really apparent, you know, like, well, here, this was my commitment. And, but that doesn't happen by chance. You know, there has to be someone willing to, you know, call into the show, make the schedule, keep coming back and do, you know, putting all those, you know, basically to make it really hard for me to get lost for very long.
To wander off. Yes, yes, yes. And what you're describing with that, you know, if it were fitness, I know you're a runner. So, running is something that develops over time with practice, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a person could just go out and run 10 miles cold, but most people would pay a big price for it, even if they were very young people, right? And so we know that almost everything that we choose to attend to requires attention and time and practice. And what you're describing is exactly the same thing, the same process. And what we're really developing is whatever that is that says, in essence, without any words at all, where are you, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
You said you were going to be X now. And none of that happens, right? But just suddenly you go, I was lost.
Yeah, yeah. And what becomes possible, I'm glad you brought up running, is that, because I'm looking at this week, of like, I was watching a conversation of, you know, should I increase my mileage, right? And the answer is, I actually don't know whether I should increase my mileage. But what I can do is I can go out running with this idea that, yeah, I'm going to try and increase my miles today. And if I get back,
I'm open to anything.
What's that?
I'm open to anything.
Right, I'm open to anything, and I, you know, and like, and if life drops in the middle of my run, oh, this actually isn't working out, I can actually stop. But conditioning wants me to, you know, look into the future and assume it's not going to happen or work out or be right, you know, mm-hmm. and then just not do it.
That's right. That's right. And again, the whole issue there is control. Ego mm-hmm. wants to
yeah.
control you. Right, and what you're opening to is that mysterious process of something wakes you up. Right, it's like people experience in sitting meditation. You know, I'm gone, and then all of a sudden, I'm here. And people, you know, will say, "How does that happen? What's doing that? How do I make that happen more?" Right. And that's what we're practicing, making that happen more.
Yeah, because I noticed the same process that I was watching a conversation going on about whether I should sign up for this organization that plants trees here in San Francisco. And I decided that rather than being that conversation, I'm just going to sign up for the volunteer, you know, and then, you know, whatever mm-hmm. happens. But not being in that conversation and instead choosing to say yes, is the only movement I needed to be concerned about at that moment.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And if halfway through planting those trees, you get information that, you know, doing this is not the thing. Whatever is the thing will be there for you.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All righty.
Thank you,
Bob. I want to get out and give someone else a chance, but thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Bob. It's good to know, right, Cherry, that what gets sacrificed is everything, and then
everything.
That the only movement we have to make is, as Bob was pointing to, getting here. That the orientation
yes.
shifts from I'm ego to this is all of me, that is all of me, right? It is
mm-hmm.
all of me. And that
mm-hmm.
my practice shifts from not just paying attention so that I can see conditioning in operation, but that I set up my entire life in order to be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, when we come back in that way, it we could say, we come back choosing everything.
Yes.
Because there's no conversation
yes.
about, well, you were gone, or you're probably doing the wrong thing, or you can't really make a contribution, or I don't know what to do, or none of that. You just come back to choosing everything.
Yes.
Life as it is.
Because, yes, I think what you're pointing to is that when we're here, all of it is available. It's
yes.
only when we're not
yes.
here or in a conversation that we're engaged in, first of all, not being here, but also parsing out the all
yeah.
endlessly.
To serve ego. Yeah.
Yeah.
To serve
yeah.
ego. Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. I'm really appreciating the conversations here. Well, I always do, but the statement that what a sacrifice is everything, what came up for me was what is sacrificed is the experience of being fully alive.
Yes.
And
yes.
And
yes.
And presence is the key to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because Catherine.
Exactly.
Because
uh-huh.
we could state, a la the earlier conversation, you are everything. What is you is everything. And that's what ego is attempting to control us, to keep us from experiencing. Because once we experience that, we're really not interested in ego parsing things out to support suffering.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. Well, that's something that I definitely want to explore. I was thinking this. Where I kind of was earlier this morning was feeling a lot of pain, emotionally painful sensations and experience of with it looks like there's been an invasion of Kurdish territory because the U.S. is pulling out its troops and I just felt those people and the fear and I'm all projection, but you know it's war and just feeling a lot of pain and really wanting to get into who was wrong and who should be taken out and shot. the experience of being alive is feeling that pain.
It's feeling the pain, but it's not the story.
Right.
Because I was looking at this morning. One of my favorite Gandhi quotes is that if you don't see God in the next person you encounter, and then, we don't want to give up on it. Let's keep looking. But his point being the conversation that we're having this morning, and that is that those people are no more separate from unconditional love, inherent wisdom, love, and compassion, the intelligence that animates, as anybody else. And what ego wants to do is get focused on every experience in life that is not what ego says we should want and the way it should be in order to drag us into a belief that dualistic worldview is correct and accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference between, they're inherently adequate. Who cares? That's not what we're saying at all. What we're actually saying is not buying the notion that anyone is inadequate, because when we do that, we lose sight of the essential nature of all that is. What is sad is that we identify with ego. And in that identification, we are willing to do terrible, terrible things. That's what's sad. The specifics of those terrible things that ego wants to go over endlessly misses the point. Whether that was supposed to be plural or not, I'm not certain. But it misses the point, okay? So if we realize how, and you said it, Catherine, you said they ought to be taken out and shot. Well, that's the same process, isn't it? So I'm going to decide who the bad people are, and I'm going to take them out and shoot them because the head of Turkey, his idea of that is wrong. And so I know who ought to be taken out and shot.
Right.
Well, that's all the same process.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so, again, to underline it, if we realize what's sad is that human beings who are capable of infinite love and compassion get sucked into choosing ego, and as a result of that are willing to do horrible things, now our attention is is in a place that can be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I am not disconnected from those people, both from the standpoint of we are all ages, and we all have conditioning. So I see how ego really separates me from life and from the world.
That's right.
To the point where sometimes I just want to go jump off a cliff. And that's not something I'm going to do. I'm not going to do that. But I see that happening, that process.
Oh, absolutely. So, Catherine, there's a duality. You either take that person who's responsible out and shoot them or jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
That's shoot my dose. Shoot yourself. Shoot them, shoot yourself. Those are the two choices.
Right.
There's another really important choice that we can make. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Catherine. Sherry, we have 3 minutes. Shall we try to get another caller in?
Let's do it.
Okay. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita.
Hello, Ramita.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
I have been looking at the duality, hubris, and humility.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashwini mentioned just earlier in the show how identification with all that is humility. And that just brought another whole element of this this into awareness.
Yes, because only in ego's dualistic realm is humility the opposite of hubris.
Huh, yes, the humility contains the humility of being identified with all. Everything is contained there.
Right, so that's where people start using capital letters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in ego's world, lowercase hubris and humility are opposites because it's a false humility, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we come back to center, we can recognize a humility that is probably, when we really get into the experience, we wouldn't even use that word to describe it because it's simply non-separation.
Yes, it's a word that can only be a very vague approximation of the experience of being connected and part of everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, my heart opens as I listen to all of us talk about, on one hand, the pain or the separation and, feeling it, being able to participate with Sangha this way and feeling all of these aspects of all that is it's just an amazing, amazing gift. And
It really is. And the thing about it, I think, and it kind of goes back to what Bob was pointing to, you know, always making choices that bring us to presence, right? Things that bring us back here. And that's what happens to us when we all get together like this, whether it's on retreat or on this kind of program or wherever the focus is on presence, we are drawn to presence. So when we follow that impulse to make choices that are going to draw us to presence, again, we are reinforcing that what we're actually going for here, which is...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Go happy.
You too.
Thanks, Ramita. Sherry, this show has been so incredible. It's just amazing the places we're getting to as we're looking at our process around these content areas. It's just so inspiring.
It really is. I hope it's letting us all see clearly what is possible for us when we make this choice for presence, choose to be in presence all the time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's our assignment for today. What would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego, but what aspect of ego? RL, what you see.
All right.
All right.
Funner and funner. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.